So it's interesting. We're getting a lot of comments on the text line about the music that is being played this morning into our segments. I'm going to talk a little bit about that after 11 o'clock. Our 11 o'clock segment today deals with artificial intelligence. So there you go. Probably leads you in the right direction there. A text just in from Cindy in Prince Albert. Thick, slushy snow on both lanes, Prince Albert to Rosthern. Sanding trucks are out. So just another reminder, take care if you're out there. Throw your lights on. Brush up on your winter driving skills, as a couple of our texters had reminded us. Even though we are seeing sunshine in much of the province right now, there are areas that are still getting some of the snow or the after effects of the snow that has fallen so far. Well, budget talk, as you know, has kind of been woven into our program really since the beginning of the week, given the fact the federal budget came down. We were playing some of the reactions, including the one that I probably stuck out for a few people right after the budget was announced from the Conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre.
I think we can say that while talk is cheap, it's very expensive when a Liberal finance minister does it.
So we know, we heard from the Conservatives and the Bloc and the Green Party that they will not be supporting this budget, yet to hear from the NDP what is happening. The Conservatives, though, of course, have had a lot to say about this as a result of, you know, the idea that was put forward by the Liberals that this is a generational budget. This is a plan to strengthen Canada's economy and support workers and invest in national security. The Conservatives say it falls short, especially on affordability. And I think I can say that when we opened the phone lines the morning after the budget was released, that was one thing we heard from many of you is, really, there's nothing in there that's going to make any sort of immediate change. Doesn't deal with affordability. Likely isn't going to change something at the grocery store in the next couple of months. Likely isn't going to change the way your bank account looks in the next year or so, with the exception of maybe a couple of small things. I wanted to dig into this a little bit deeper on the part of the Conservatives to hear from someone within the Conservative Party. Okay, what? Where did it miss the mark? Where should it have hit? What is missing? Anything good in there? What would they have done different? Those types of things. And I'm happy to have joining us today, the Conservative Party finance critic is joining us, Jasraj Singh Halan, who has been the finance critic now for a period of time and has had time to dig through the budget, although I'm guessing, Jasraj, you haven't read the whole 500 pages front to back.
It's a lot of empty promises in those 500 pages.
I was saying to somebody the other day, it's like a telephone book. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jasraj. We're happy to have you on the program.
I'd love to be on with you. And I just wanted to mention, thank you for your service as a former police officer as well.
Oh, well, thank you for that. It's been a good fit moving from that job to this job. And I get to talk about all of these things that are so important to Canadians. And I can't think of anything more important than the budget and what it brings. Does this budget bring, in your mind, and we're going to get into the criticisms, does it bring anything positive, Jasraj?
Not in our books. Look, we thought Justin Trudeau was the first worst money manager in Canadian history. Mark Carney with this budget said, hold my champagne. And in fact, delivered the most expensive budget in Canadian history outside of COVID. He doubled Justin Trudeau's deficit with this, which when we put it into everyday Canadian terms, every single Canadian household just got slammed with $5,400 of costs because of this costly budget. And there's nothing in this budget for those that were looking for some hope that that food prices would come down, housing costs, which have doubled under the Liberals, would come down, or those 2.2 million Canadians that are waiting in a food bank line. There's nothing in here for them. This is more expense that's going to be at the tax of Canadians. And the people who are actually going to be benefiting from this are Mark Carney's banker and bondholder buddies, because they're going to be getting more in interest payments than what goes to the healthcare, to provinces and healthcare transfers.
So maybe that's a good place to go next. Jasraj Singh-Halan is my guest, the Conservative Party finance critic. So that deficit number is one that has so many people worried. This is an open line talk radio program, and so we opened up the phone lines, and I think deficit was probably the number one issue that kept coming up. $78.1 billion, $300 billion deficit addition to the debt over the next 5 years. The Liberals are saying this is an investment in our future, this will pay dividends. Do you see any truth to the fact that money needs to be spent today to generate income and drive our economy in years to come?
Look, every government spends money, but this Liberal government's track record in the last 9 budgets and now this 10th one is overspending and delivering nothing for it. And in Mark Carney's case, this is going to be another, this is a budget of empty promises. You know, this so-called, and you know, your listeners, as every Canadian, is worried about the deficit, because what do deficits do? They drive up inflation, and then that goes on to Canadians' heads in the form of taxes. So taxes go up. And that's exactly what the Liberals have been known for the last 9 years. And these so-called investments that they're talking about, even if they were to come close, which we doubt they would even meet a promise because they never have, or meet a target, it would take a really long time for anything to materialize. And just as an example, with our resource sector, unless Liberal laws that are anti-development laws like Bill C-69, Bill C-48, the oil and gas cap, and the industrial carbon tax don't go, if we don't get rid of those, nothing can be built here in Canada. And when we talk about investment, this Liberal government has driven away $600 billion of Canadian investment to the U.S. Mark Carney alone, since he became Prime Minister, almost $60 billion of good Canadian investment, jobs, machinery, has gone to the U.S. So unless we get rid of bad Liberal anti-development laws, there's nothing that's going to get built here in Canada. We need to reverse all those policies so Canadians can have good economy, good jobs, with good paychecks.
What about the defense spending, Jasraj? Is there any? I had General Rick Hillier on the program about an hour ago, a former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, and you know, I think, you know, if I'm summarizing what General Hillier said, it really is, you know, we need to see it not just on words on a piece of paper, but we need to see action. He was happy to see some changes with the procurement, and happy to see finally some investments in defense. How do you see that spending? Because that's a big part of the budget as well.
Absolutely. Look, Conservatives will always support supporting our troops and strengthening Canada as a whole. But what the issue is the broken promises that Mark Carney's track record is. Whether it comes to spending, whether it comes to delivering a strong nation, you know, as an example, Mark Carney keeps repeating the line, Canada has the strongest or fastest growing economy in the G7. Well, I asked the Bank of Canada's governor yesterday in committee, is that true? And he said, absolutely not. Canada doesn't have the fastest growing economy in the G7. And what does that translate to? That translates to higher taxes and more costs for Canadians. And the cost comes at social programs and things like our defense budget. Yes, they have a promise inside of this budget for defense spending. But if the track record of the Liberals has been and continues to be broken promises, then that's not a good outlook for Canada. And that's why on a world stage, Canada has fallen, whether it's our reputation with our allies or just Canada as a whole. We need to make Canada a strong, independent nation. What needs to happen is we need to get our resource sector booming so that government revenues can pay more and more towards our NATO commitments and to get our defense spending up. That's the way that we have to do it. It's not just about cutting costs. We need to boost revenues so that we can make Canada stronger than it is today.
So I'm going to ask you in just a second, basically, what would you have done different? If the Conservatives were building this budget, how would it have looked different? But before I do, is there a recognition, Jasraj, from the Conservatives that this is a bit of a unique time that we're in? I think that message, at least it permeates from the Liberal government with regard to this budget, with everything from tariffs and the trade wars. I get it. Some are saying this is a distraction that they want. But is there a recognition that the world is very much in upheaval right now, and that's the reason for some of the spending we see?
Look, if you're asking me, if this is a today problem, it's not. This is 10 years of Liberal failures on our economy, on our security, on jobs, on crime. That's led us up to this. And the Bank of Canada's deputy senior governor yesterday confirmed that this is consecutive productivity crisis that the Liberals created that put us in this position. We weren't ready for the tariff war. We weren't prepared even before the tariff war started. And that's because of anti-development laws that the Liberals put up that didn't let us become an independent and energy superpower. If the Liberals did not put up those bills that doesn't let us get pipelines built, mines built, dams built, and we could sell our product that we have here in Canada to the rest of the world, that's why we're in the position we're in today. So this is not a today problem that they're trying to distract away with this empty promise budget. This is consecutive 10 years of taxing Canadians and delivering absolutely nothing for it.
All right.
So this is a problem that's straight at the Liberals' feet.
Okay, let's jump into, we've only got a couple of minutes left and I've got a couple more questions. Let's jump into what would the Conservatives propose for a budget and how would that have looked different?
If this was a Conservative budget, the number one thing we would have done is reverse all the anti-development Liberal laws. As I noted before, Bill C-69, Bill C-48, the tanker ban. We'd get rid of the industrial carbon tax. We would remove the oil and gas cap. So we could produce more here in Canada, build more here in Canada. We could sell to the rest of the world that wants Canadian energy, which means our economy would go up, jobs would increase, and we would give Canadians good paychecks once again, like we used to have under a Conservative government. Lower the cost of food by getting rid of the industrial carbon tax and making it cheaper to produce things right here in Canada where we can make more. We would cap the government deficit, which is out of control under the Liberals, which means we would get rid of the high-paying Liberal insider consultant fees that Canada has to pay under the Liberals, which equate to about $22 billion a year. The growth and the bloating of bureaucracy, we would have to reduce that down so that we can be responsible with Canadians' money and make sure that Canadians are getting the services that they deserve. And we would make taxes lower, simpler, and fairer. All of this to say that we would be attracting more foreign investment and people would want to invest in Canada because they would actually see a return in Canada. And I must talk about crime. Crime, violent crime is out of control under the Liberals. 55% increase in violent crime, 130% in gun crime. We need to reverse all the soft on crime Liberal laws that have made Canadians feel so unsafe, that have given criminals more rights than what victims have in this country. We would specifically reverse Bill C-5 and Bill C-75 that gives repeat violent offenders easy bail. We would bring in jail and not bail for those repeat offenders and keep violent offenders behind bars where they belong.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. I'm just going to add personally and selfishly, I'd like you to add the gun buyback into the things you would change. But
we would use the $1 billion of that $1 billion buyback program and use it on the border for high power scanners and more personnel at the border so we can stop the inflow of illegal guns, which are the actual problem, not law abiding gun owners. And we would stop the inflow of illegal drugs and the outflow of our cars that are getting stolen and being shipped out of our country.
Very quickly, I want to add, Jasraj Singh Halan is my guest, the Conservative Party finance critic. I want to just quickly ask about the Conservative caucus member that crossed the floor to join the Liberals. I guess, A, your thoughts, and B, he hinted that this might not be the last person to do that. Is that your feeling?
Look, let's be clear why he crossed the floor. He crossed the floor because of the bitterness. He did not become the deputy speaker out of a vote that took place. And so out of that, he waited as long as he did to go to the Liberals. But what he actually did was turn his back on the same constituents that told him to fight against Liberal corruption, the fact that the Liberals rose, made housing double the cost, made crime rise with soft on crime policies, and made everything more expensive, including food, and that the same Liberal policies that sent 2.2 million Canadians into a food bank every single month, 700,000 of which are children, he's turned his back on those same constituents that sent him here to fight against all of that. He turned his back on those donors, those door knockers, the people who took a lawn sign from him because they believed in the Conservative plan. No true conservative could vote for this incredibly incompetent promise, empty promise filled budget. And that's exactly what he did.
Is so he the first of many, though, or a few others? Or do you think that was a one off?
We are an absolutely unified caucus under Pierre Poilievre, the next prime minister of Canada.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Jas Raj, thank you so much for your time today.
Appreciate your time, Evan. Take care.
Jas Raj Singh Halan, the Conservative Party finance critic here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Turning saints into the sea. Swimming through sick lullabies. Thanks again to our last guest, Jas Raj Singh Halan, who is the Conservative Party finance critic. You should know that behind the scenes, we are working diligently to try and get the finance minister, François-Philippe Champagne, on the show. We had hoped to do it this week, but of course, schedules were busy with the budget and everything that followed. It is our hope that we will get him on the program next week. Libby is working on that as we speak, so I'm hopeful that we'll get the federal finance minister on the program to talk a little bit about the budget and go from there. Okay, we are going to take our break, but when we come back, a whole hour on artificial intelligence. So we're stepping away from politics for a bit. Brian McQuinn is going to join us, University of Regina Associate Professor, who does a lot of work with artificial intelligence. We're going to open up the lines to take your questions. We'll explore it from a few different angles. Artificial intelligence is where we go next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.